Our scripture reading for this morning is taken from the letter known as 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, beginning with verse 27. And St. Paul writes by divine inspiration, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body." These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would increase our faith through them. Amen. It may surprise us to learn that in Europe, following the Reformation, there were many Lutheran churches that retained the confessional booths. And not just because they had been built in their churches when they were under Rome, but they still used them, and they still encouraged the practice of coming to see your pastor with personal, private confession. Not to be given works of penance to make up for your sins, but rather to confess your sins and to speak to your pastor and receive God's grace, and also to properly prepare for the Lord's Supper. Here in the United States, there were many churches that architecturally were designed with the parsonage connected right to the church. And one of the reasons for this was that the pastor could be so close and nearby that when you came to the church, his office and study, actually right in his home, you could go and meet with him in order to prepare for the Lord's Supper. Even the parsonage at my church when I was a little boy, our pastor's parsonage, which was right next door, had a very large living room. His son was one of my friends, and I used to wonder, why did they have such a big living room? And the reason was that people would often come the night before the Lord's Supper on Saturday night, and they would wait, like a waiting room, to meet individually with the pastor in his study. This is how seriously preparing for the Lord's Supper was often taken generations ago. St. Paul says to us about getting ready to take the Lord's Supper, "Let a man examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup." The Greek word for examine there means to put yourself to the test. It doesn't mean look in the mirror and see if your hair is straight or you've got egg on your face. Examine yourself means put yourself to the spiritual test under the Word of God. The Corinthians, whom Paul is addressing here, the Corinthians, many of them, were not taking this supper very seriously, and they were treating it rather lightly. Some were treating the elements that were brought, the bread and the wine, prior to the service. They were treating the elements like food at a cocktail party. In fact, to such an extent that Paul says some of them are drinking the wine and getting drunk on it. And that's why Paul says to them, in this context, "There are many who are weak and sick among you. There are many who profess to be Christians among you, but aren't really approaching this the way God would have you approach it." Today in our busy lives, I think I'm tempted to do the same thing. We got a lot going on. We got a lot of things to do. We've got activities, and we have so much entertainment around us to chew up our time. And we find ourselves being so busy that taking the time to properly prepare to receive our Lord's Supper is probably one of the last things on our mind. When you consider what our Lord Jesus says that we actually receive in the Lord's Supper, what an amazing thing that is, and what tremendous blessings there are for us, for our spiritual lives, it shouldn't surprise us that the devil likes to attack this meal. It shouldn't surprise us that he likes to attack it doctrinally with heresy and false teaching, but also in my heart individually by tempting me to diminish how important it is and to diminish how important it is for me to be properly ready to receive it. Our Lord Jesus gives us this command about taking the Lord's Supper, to take it often. Often. What does that mean for us? Faculty, students, staff, as believers in Christ, to take this meal often. And the preparation that he requires for us to take it the right way is for us then a wonderful checkup, if you will, for our spiritual lives. God would have us not come to the Lord's Supper with kind of an attitude of what I would call smorgasbord repentance. We've all got sins that we're more than happy to repent before God and give up, but there's certain other ones that are tougher to give up. No, God would have us take the lantern of His holy word and His commandments and His law down into the deep recesses of our hearts, down into our consciences, way back into the corners, where there are elements of sin that we still love and want to hold on to, and expose them for what they are, and to bring them before the altar of Christ in true repentance. Listen to St. Paul's words again about how we should come to this meal. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. Not guilty of bread and wine. Guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. He goes on, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. That means not recognizing that's what you're receiving. This really is the body and blood of Christ along with the bread and wine. And we need to approach it with all seriousness. Martin Luther once said, this is not child's play. Amen. Hermann Sasse, a great theologian, said, every disease of the church becomes manifest at the Lord's table. Now think what we have here in this sacred feast. God Himself takes the most precious token of His love for us, His grace, and that is the body of His own dear Son, the Son of God incarnate. And by the power of His word, blessing these elements, places that very body and blood of His Son into the bread and wine and into your mouth. It's really kind of fascinating to think that our Lord Jesus Christ has devised a way that you can eat His body and blood and have it taste sweet, have it taste good. The very items that God used to purchase your personal entrance into heaven and your own personal resurrection, the very items used to purchase that, He now puts in your mouth and wants you to take it to yourself. How much more personal can it be? All five of our senses, if you think about it, are involved when we take the Lord's Supper. It's as if God is wanting to say to us, I want every part of you to know I love you and I forgive you, and I want you to know what Christ has done for you. When we take this meal, we are to remember our Lord. Do this in remembrance of me. But it's much more than that. It's not simply to remember Him. If that's all this meal was to be, you might as well eat a little cupcake with frosting with a cross in the frost. You can remember Jesus eating that. But it's more than just remembering Him. It's receiving His very body and blood for the remission of sins, as His words so clearly declare. One of the earliest church fathers by the name of Irenaeus, who lived in the second century, wrote this about the Lord's Supper in his day. In the same way that bread, which is produced from the earth, when it receives the invocation of God, that means the words of institution, is no longer common bread, but the Eucharist, that means the Lord's Supper, consisting of two realities, earthly and heavenly, so also our bodies, when they receive the Eucharist, are no longer corruptible, having the hope of resurrection to eternity. Is it any wonder why Christians throughout the years have cherished this sacred feast that our Lord has given us? I'm going to close with a little story today. Years ago at a pastor's conference, one of our pastors who had been serving over in Europe told a great story that he would go and serve this shut-in woman, an elderly woman, and when he was done with communion with her, he was taking the little plastic disposable cup that he had used and was going to throw it in the trash, and she said, "Can I have that?" And he said, "Okay, sure," and he gave it to her, and she pulled back the curtain on a window right next to her bed, and here she had about 12 of these little cups lined up on the windowsill. And she said, "I like to look at these. They remind me that God loves me." May God give us a renewed appreciation for this sacred feast that He has given us and all the blessings that it brings to us. And may He also stir up our hearts to be properly prepared the way He requires. Amen. Please take out your hymn book And turn, if you would, first of all, to page 38 in the front part of your hymn book, page 38. And I want you just to see there a series of questions and answers that Christians can use in preparation for the Lord's Supper. We're not going to go through those for sake of time today, but just wanted you to be aware of those. Turn the page then to page 40, and in the bottom corner you will see a prayer that is used before Holy Communion. Let us rise and join in praying that together. We do not presume to come to your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the Lord who desires always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the body of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen.